came out to begin a new sugya. So although it is a new sugya, it's going to build on some of the principles that we spoke about in the past, and we actually start with a braisa that we've already spoke about a little bit in the past. It's the first of the Gemara Mekomos. It's a Gemara in Sukkot of Zayim and Aleph. The Gemara quotes a braisa towards the end of the first line, the beginning of the second line, Vatanya. We learned in a braisa. Dofen Sukkah k'dofen Shabbos. Almost like a global statement. We've seen some exceptions to that rule, but by and large, the rule is that the rules that govern the funos for a sukkah are the same rules that govern the funos for Hilcha Shabbos. Ubuvad shelo yehei ben kan l'chaveh shlosh tvachim. Provided that when you build the sukkah, you build the mechitza, both for sukkah as well as for Shabbos, you don't have breaks in between the poles of the mechitza of more than 3 tvachim. And then the Brayis goes on to say, and by the way, if you say a Shabbos or Sukkah, she Shabbos and the Teres El Biyom Rula Parvot, Pashay gave a Sukkah, that even though we started out by saying that the rules are the same, nevertheless, there's a little bit of a difference, that Shabbos is a little bit more Chomer, that Shabbos requires Omen Rula Parvot, and Sukkah doesn't, which of course we spent the whole last 2 weeks trying to figure out what in the world that means, that Sukkah doesn't need Omen Rula Parvot, it's Rashi, the Ram, etc. But the focus of our next Sukkah is going to be not the exceptions to the rule, but rather the rule itself, where the Braisa says very, very, just a straightforward statement, Dofen Sukkah Kedofen Shabbos, provided that there are no breaks of 3 Tvachim within the poles that make up the Mechitza. And the question is, what in the world is the Braisa talking about? Is it talking about one statement? Is it talking about 2 statements? Is it a global statement? Is it a specific statement? Just a little taich in the Braisa is a little bit confusing. What do those words mean? Dofen Sukkah Kedofen Shabbos, and what is the significance Shaloi Ben Chaveri Shalashi Tvachim? So comes the Ritva, the third of the Mamakamos. So the Ritva quotes Rashi, and then questions Rashi, but the Ritva quotes Rashi. Eisfer by Dofen Sukkah Dofen Shabbos. The Ika Peirish, Kedepirish Rashi, the Chihechi, the Hossam Sharina and Shasi below Erev, O Erev below Shasi, Hachinam Elinin Sukkah. So the Ritva says within Das Rashi that the goal of the statement of the Braisa, Dofen Sukkah Kedofen Shabbos, is referring to something very, very specific. It's referring to the principle of a mechitza being made with either Shasi or Erev. What does Shasi Erev mean? Shasi Erev, when you have a loom, when you have making cloth, when you're weaving cloth, so you have some of the threads going this way, some of the threads going that way. I always forget which is which, but they're either one, Shasi Erev, so don't feel bad if you forget. The bottom line is that the Gemara here is referencing a Mishnah Maseches Erevin that says when you build a mechitza of a Shabbos, you can build a mechitza made of either not strings but literally poles going this way or poles going that way or strings going that way. What would that mean practically? Instead of building a solid mechitza, instead of taking a piece of wood, a piece of a bricks or something and putting it up as a mechitza, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is put up a pole. And then take a little bit of a break. How big would that break be? So we have a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that anything that's less than 3 tefachim is considered to be connected to one another. That's called lovet. So you put up one pole over here. I didn't say anything about strings across the top. I didn't say the words of the pesach yet. It's coming around the bend, but not yet. I put up a pole here. Then I put up another pole over here. Then you put up a third pole over here. Another pole over here. And you go the length of the mechitza. As long as you have less than 3 tefachim between those poles, the halacha fills in the gaps, and that's a perfectly acceptable mechitza. That's an omen rubel aparetz. It's an omen bekulo. It's a complete and total solid mechitza. Even though physically there's obviously much more parts than omed, it doesn't matter since all the appearances, quote unquote, are less than 3 tefachim. They're all considered to be closed up. So that's a Mishnah in Maseches Erevin. That's a perfectly acceptable way of building a mechitza for Hilchos Shabbos purposes. Then the Sugya Maseches Erevin also speaks about another way of building a mechitza. Instead of having a pole here with a break, pole here, what if I have a string going across, and then I have a little bit of a break, and I have another string going across, and then a little bit of a break, and then a straight thing, and it goes all the way up to the total of 10 tvachim, which is the height of the mechitza. It's Allah Moshe Nesli 10 tvachim tall. So I would have looked at these strings and say, this is a joke. What do you mean? There's so much air space. There's nothing here. So comes the halacha Moshe Mesiri and says, no, it's fine. Because since the break between the ground and that first string is less than 3 tvachim, here the break is going up and down rather than sideways, but the break is less than 3 tvachim, halacha Moshe Sinai says it's as if it's filled in. Then I go from one string to the next string, less than 3 tvachim. That's fine. Allah says it's filled in. I go all the way up till I reach the point of 10 tvachim. As long as my strings are situated or positioned in such a way that there's no break of more than 3 tvachim or more between one string to the next, so the Allah fills in all the gaps, and I have a perfectly solid wall mechitza. So those are sugyas in the first part of Erevin. That's called Shasi v'Erev, Shasi or Erev. I can build a mechitza either way, either poles going up and down or strings going sideways. Either one is perfectly acceptable. So comes Rashi and says, that's exactly what the Braisa means, when it says, Daifin Sukkah ke Daifin Shabbos. I would have thought for some reason that maybe when it comes to Sukkah, I can't build a Sukkah this way. Kamash Belon the Braisa, you can. Daifin Sukkah ke Daifin Shabbos. So if you go back to the Braisa for a minute, back to the second line, so Vatanya Daifin Sukkah ke Daifin Shabbos. So according to Rashi, what that means is you can invoke the principles of building a mechitza for Sukkah with either poles separated by less than 3 tvachim, or strings separated by less than 3 tvachim, that's okay. And then when the end of the braisa says, ubilvad, and just be careful, just be careful when you do that, not to go overboard, not to have a gap of more than 3 tvachim. So according to Rashi's pshat, the second half of the braisa is talking about the exact same thing as the first half of the braisa. The second half is just qualifying what we said in the first place. So the first half of the braisa says, you can make a sukkah with strings and with poles, ubilvad, just be careful, not to have too much of a gap between the poles or between the strings. So according to Rashi's pshat, there's one theme in the braisa, there's one theme in the slide of the braisa, and the second half is just qualifying and just warning you how to make sure to be careful if and when you decide to build it based on the first principle. So that's how the Ritva learns pshat in Rashi. So let's take back to the Ritva again. So the third of the Rambam Kamus, the Ikra Perush in the first line, Vika Perush Kita Perush Rashi, okay, now believe in sukkah. Perish the perusho. So the Ritva adds in a little bit to Rashi. Salkedai the chamina, the hocha the leke elishtei the fados nachmir tvei. The Ritva is bothered with the kasha. Why do I need a braisa to tell me that I'm allowed to build a mechitza based on lavud? Anyone can figure that out. I learned Maseches Erevin. I know the Mishnah Erevin. I know the Gemara Erevin that says that it's perfectly okay to build mechitzas with chassis or Erev. Means either poles going up or strings going across. Why in the world would I think that the halacha of mechitzas and sukkah are any different? After all, in Ucha Shabbos, there's halacha Moshe Messini need mechitzas. And in Ucha Sukkah, there's halacha Moshe Messini need mechitzas. Why would anybody differentiate between the two? The Rashi doesn't address that, but the Ritva adds to that. So Ritva says, I would have thought that by sukkah, since we're so lenient about Ucha Sukkah, we let you get away with such cheap mechitzas in Ucha Sukkah, you don't even need 3 mechitzas in Ucha Sukkah. You barely need 2 mechitzas. You need 2 plus a mashim, a little one, 2 plus a tefach, 2 plus a tefach. I would have thought that since we're so lenient on the number of mechitzas, I would have thought that we should at least be a little bit more machmir, understand that those mechitzas themselves. So I could have made a case to insist that the kulas of building mechitzas in Shabbos based on poles and strings don't carry over to Sukkah. I could have argued such a thing. Don't waste too much time arguing. And Kamash Malon, the Braisa says it's not true. That's exactly why the Braisa says what it says. V'hainu dekamar, and that's why the Braisa emphasizes the lake of love. It's basically the end of the Braisa is just qualifying the beginning of the Braisa. So according to Rashi, we have a biur, we have a mahalach in the Braisa. We know why I would have thought that love doesn't work. Kamash Malon, afapichain, that it does work. So when all the dust settles, there's one din in the Braisa according to Rashi and the Ritva. The din is, you can build a sukkah based on lavud, either strings or based on poles. Either one is perfectly acceptable. But then the Ritva quotes another possibility, of Abatosis Pirshu. We don't have this Tosis. Of Abatosis Pirshu, and there were many, many Tosim that were written by hundreds and thousands of Balei Tosis. So different Rishonim had different access to different manuscripts of Tosis. So here the Ritva quotes another group of Balei Tosis. Abatosis Pirshu. The Ha'asya commanded Amr be'Erevin, Shaloiti Rishasi below Erev, Ela B'Shayara Bulvad. There happens to be a Machlekes Atanoim, Ima Sechas Erevin, within that view, that you could, within that din, that you could build mechitzas with poles and with strings, etc. So there are different Tanoim who have different opinions as to, do we put any brakes on that idea, any breaks on that concept of building an Erev with these very, very half-baked kind of walls. So one Tana says, there's no limitations. Do whatever you want. It's perfectly okay. Kach nem alach hosh sinai, it's fine. And there's another Tana that says, even though it's true that min haTorah, these mechitzas are good, because it's halacha Moshe Mesinai, shesior erev, either poles or strings are perfectly okay. It just doesn't look right. Well, yeah. Tell people, here you are, here are your mechitzas, here are your walls. So the average guy who didn't learn erev and is looking around like, walls? I see a couple of strings. Walls? I see a pole. See, this looks like a part that's below me to me. Not everybody is so sophisticated to know that there's halacha Moshe Mesinai called lovod, and therefore it's as if it's filled in. So the next thing you know is that a guy's going to go ahead and he's going to start building mechitzas, which are legamri missing. That's why it's interesting. There's a Ramon of Chosukah that writes that when you build mechitzas for a sukkah, even though we're spending the half the year on all the kunsim of lovods with tefilakum, right? The Ramah writes, when you tell the Hamon Am to build a sukkah, tell him to build a normal sukkah. The Ramah recommends. For the Lamdanim, you want to build a Meshuggah sukkah with this, it's okay. But for the average person, you're going to tell him to build a sukkah, it's okay, it's based on Lavud, it's based on Dovra Kuma, we got a good asik, we have 15,000 different kumas. He's for sure not going to understand what's going on. He's going to make a mistake, he's going to build a sukkah in a way that's no good. So we, again, I'm not saying the sukkah is possible, it's built with these kunsim, it's kosher, but the Ramah just says, you know, be buyer, beware. You know, it's not the best the strategy to tell most people to do it this way. So that's what some Tanoim and Erevin say, that although mid haTorah these mechitzas are good, mid the Rabbanan we should really do away with them. But we don't want to make life miserable for people. Sometimes people are out in the caravan somewhere, they're out in the field somewhere, it comes Friday night, it comes Friday right before Shabbos, they have to build a really, really quick sukkah, build a really quick Erev. They don't have time to go build real walls. So under those unique circumstances, we have to let them get away. We're just making the bare bone minimum, the deraisa dikka mechitzas. We saw this idea already by Pasi Biros, by the Kavos, by the Old Regolim. So there is a notion in Chazal that there are certain standards of mechitzas that although are technically okay in the Torah, we're going to shy away from unless we're under extenuating circumstances. So there are some Tanaim of the opinion that those kinds of mechitzas of Shesti below Erev, we only mat there under unique circumstances, b'shayara, for the caravans, for the guys who are stuck with the camels out in the middle of the fields. So if that's true, says Tosfos, that l'maisa in Hilchos Shabbos, we don't really let these mechitzas play out. That's what the b'raisa means. That about Bataisa's Pirush, back to the third line of the Ridvah, the Ha'as Yekamad Yav Erevin, Shaloiti was Shasi below Erev, Elabashira Bulvad. Uktari de Besukah Hekilu. So the Bryce is coming to say, even though we're Machmen Uch Shabbos, and we don't want people to get into the habit of building mechitzas with just poles and strings because they're going to make a mistake. But in Sukkah, the stakes aren't so high. Sukkah is only a mitzvah essay. It's not a skila. Nothing terrible is going to happen. So he says that when the Braisa says that Sukkah is like Shabbos, what it means is Sukkah is like Shabbos in a caravan. Sukkah in your backyard is like Shabbos in a caravan. So that's already a chiddush. So according to this Pshat HaTosfos, I understand why the Bryce has to tell me a Chiddush that you're allowed to use Shesi or Eira for a Sukkah. Because I would have thought, just as in Uchah Shabbos, mid the Rabbanu, we shy away from using it. We only let it under very, very unique circumstances. I would have thought we should be Machmer and Sukkah also. Kamash Balan, Sukkah is not so bad, not so Chomer. So we have two working Pshatim in the Rishonim as to why would I have thought that you can't build a Sukkah based on lovuds. So either I would have a mina that sukkah, we have to be more machmir, because since it's shtayim kiyuchas or shlishim b'lo tefach, the standards are so low anyway, so we want to up the ante a little bit. That was Rashi in the Ritva's Pshat. Or according to Tosfos, because there are legitimate shitas in Erevin that hold that you really can't build Erevin mechitzas based on the Shesiv Erev stories. So I have a havamina. So I had Rashi's havamina, I have the Tosfos' havamina. At the end of the day, both the havaminas are not correct. Kamash Balan, at least we can appreciate the Braisa. It took us 20 minutes to appreciate the Braisa. So the Braisa, it's also Kedai. It's Kedai to learn just to appreciate what the Tanaim said. So Kamash Balan, the Braisa, don't worry about it. Sukkah's okay. Don't worry about it. People aren't going to make mistakes. Don't worry about it. We have confidence in people. You can build the Sukkah based on either Shasi Erev, as long as you have a Lavud. So the Ritva doesn't particularly like the second Pshat of Tosfos. He writes below Nira. He says he doesn't think it's the right Pshat. Okay, well, he doesn't tell you why. He doesn't like, logistically, textually, doesn't like the Pshat. The Inami, the Ritva comes up with another possibility. Daifin Sukkah ki Daifin Shabbos, when the Braisa says Daifin Sukkah ki Daifin Shabbos, guess what? It wasn't even talking about love. That wasn't even the point. The point was, La'atiro mi kol dover, afilu aposach aposal ischach, kishem she'atiro Daifin Shabbos, shedino kabay b'chol inyanov. That up until now, Rashi and Tosfos Pshat, while learning in the Braisa, Daifin Sukkah ki Daifin Shabbos, that meant vis-a-vis the din of Lavan. That was the punchline of Lavan. And then the second half of the Braisa was qualifying and saying, don't overdo it. Don't mess up the Lavan. Don't do it. Don't have the breaks too big. Comes to Ritva with the third shot and says, we misread the Braisa. When the Braisa says, Dofen, Sukkah, Dofen, Shabbos, it wasn't even talking about Lavan. It was talking about regular building materials, bricks and wood and glass, whatever you make your sukkah out of. And the Braisa was telling you, just as in Hilchos Shabbos, we couldn't care less what the materials are. You can build a mechitza for Shabbos with wood, with cement, with bricks. Doesn't matter. There are no halachas that govern the building of the walls of for Shabbos. So too, in Hilchos Sukkah, there are no halachas that govern the material that's used to build the walls of a sukkah. Why would one have thought otherwise? Because it happens to be one time that the mayor thought otherwise. You remember, well, a couple of weeks, months ago, we mentioned there's one Tana, Rabbi Yoshia, that may hold that just as the schach has to be something that grew in the ground and no longer connected to the ground, etc., not Makabal Tuma, so Rabbi Yoshia may insist that the walls have to meet those criteria as well. Now, no, we don't pass it like that, but since there's one Tana, one possibility out there to insist that walls of a sukkah have to be made out of very, very specific materials, comes the Bryce and says, don't worry about it. Dofen sukkah ki dofen Shabbos. And then, as a second statement, not as a qualification of the first half, but as a separate independent statement, the Bryce says, and by the way, be careful if and when you're building with Lavan, even though the Bryce didn't even talk about Lavan. The Bryce doesn't have to bother telling me Lavan, because it's obvious. The Bryce is just telling you, if and when you decide to build a sukkah with Lavan, make sure not to goof and go overboard. So we have three different biurim, just in terms of textually in the Bryce. The first two pshatim are assuming Chazal have to tell us explicitly that you can build a sukkah with Lavan. If not for the statement of Chazal, I wouldn't have figured it out on my own. I would have thought sukkah is different, etc. So I need a clear-cut green light, a clear explicit instructions from Chazal that you can build a sukkah based on Lavan. According to the third pshat, I don't need Chazal to tell it to me. I learned Erevin. Everybody knows that. I need a braisa to tell me I can build a sukkah based on a davar mekabel tumah. That already is a sukkah that you chiddush. But for the purposes of Lavan, anyone can figure it out on their own. So the Ritva doesn't like this third shot, also v'lo nira. He doesn't like textually the third shot. When all the dust settles, it's three interesting, different textual pshatim in the Gemara, but at the end of the day, everything ends up in the same place. At the end of the day, they could build a sukkah based on Lavan. Whether I would have thought you can't, I would have figured it out on my own, doesn't really matter. When all the dust settles, it sounds like that's a given. It's a milsnip shita. I keep on saying, that's a given, only because I'm setting the stage for later on, not today, but a little bit later on, that someone's going to come and question whether you can even build a sukkah altogether based on Lavan, and they're going to revamp and reread this entire sugya. But up until now, we have no inkling of that. Up until now, we're pretty confident you want to build sukkah with strings. We like that. A lot of people do build their sukkahs with strings. You want to build sukkahs with poles. We're fine. Anything's good. If it meets the standards of Shabbos, wonderful and great. However, before we can analyze a little further how these strange mechitzas of poles and strings are playing out in terms of sukkah, we have to go back to the source because everything is hinging upon Erevin. Everything is hinging upon those dinamim and hilchos Shabbos that yes, you can build walls with strings. Yes, you could build walls with poles. So we have to understand that sugya a little bit better in hilchos Shabbos to understand how it plays out, what the ramifications of that statement are as it applies to sukkah. So we have to go back, as we've been doing consistently the last couple of weeks. Well, we started with the sugya in sukkah. We realize that the lumdus really begins in Erevin. We go back to learn a couple of sukkahs in Erevin, and then we'll be able to connect the dots and plug it right back in the sukkah again. So let's go back and try to learn a little bit about the sugya of chavalim and kanim as it plays out in Maseches Erevin. So if you take a look in the second of the Maariv Kramos, so Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, Makifin shlosha chavalim zelam alam izeh v'zelam alam izeh. You can build an Erev with merely three strings. You have to be a little bit, you know, good in architecture, good in math. But you could theoretically pull off an Erev with mechitzas of three strings. Provided that you don't have three tefachim or more between the strings. Because once you have more than three tefachim, then it's love is over. There's no connection between the two. Then the whole mechitzah is basal mavuto. So you have to try to figure it out. How in the world can you pull off an Erev of up. You have to get to the magic number 10 tefachim. That's a given. So you have to reach 10 tefachim, and you only want to. It's like a geometry problem, something, an algebra problem. You know, how do you build an area of 10 tefachim by only using three strings? So obviously, the first string has to start at. We want to put it at the highest possible point. So put it at 2.9. Then we want to put the next string at again 2.9. So that puts me at what? Puts me at 5.8, okay. Then, just testing. Then we get the next string at 2.9. That's going to put me at 6.8, 7.8, 8.7. I'm still 1.3 shy. So how am I going to solve that problem? Well, who's going to give me 1.3 tefachim? What's the answer?
I love it.
There's no top. That's the problem. There's no top. The thickness of the string. So obviously when we say strings, we can't just mean a fishing wire. There's got to be a certain degree of thickness to the strings. So, shir chavolim v'ovyon yeser al tefach. So you have to make that the thickness of the strings themselves have to be a little bit more than a tefach. What was the number that we got to? We got to 8.7. So we have to make sure that all three strings together have a total of thickness of 1.3. That's what the Mishnah means, a little bit more than a tefach. K'dei she'akol asar tefachim. Then the Mishnah says, when you finish the stunt of making strings, makifin bekonim, ubavach loyebin kon lechaveir shloisha tefachim. And the same is true if you want to put poles up in the ground instead of strings going up and down. You want to put poles in the ground, that's also okay. And once again, ubavach loyebin kon lechaveir shloisha tefachim. As long as you don't have three tefachim break.
We don't say lavud on the gap up to 10 tefachim.
Well, the problem is you can only say lavud. Lavud connects two things, two physical structures. The problem is there's no top. So if you all you made it was to 8.7, so then the next lavud is in the shemayim. There's nothing there. So you have to have a top too. So you have to have either you put in a fourth string, but we're trying to cut down minimize the number of strings. So you have to make the thickness of the strings. Fine. So the principles are pretty straightforward. And again, since we're borrowing everything from Shabbos to Sukkah, it sounds like that would be the same stunt that we would do in building a sukkah. Some people who have canvas sukkahs and like to touch up the canvas sukkahs with the strings. And instead of relying on the cameras, we'll talk about a little bit later on again, but are well aware of these numbers, and they try to figure out how to make the cheshbon with the minimum amount of work. So comes the Rosh in the fourth of the Ramakamas, and he starts throwing questions at us, and the second question he's going to ask is our sugya, but before we get there, we have to understand and appreciate the first question as well. The Rosh is looking at a whole bunch of different sugyas in Maseches Erevin, which come up with these very, very creative ways of making mechitzas. And notice, all of these creative ways of making mechitzas, we have to give a karas hatov to the camel drivers and to the people who are traveling with their animals. But if not for those fellows, we wouldn't have figured out. We wouldn't have had all these mishnayos. So the Mishnah tells us, what do you do when the camels are out in the fields, or what do you do when the animals are out in the fields? And all these different coolers about how to build mechitzas. You get the impression, if you're living in a regular city, you build a normal mechitza, build a regular Erev. So we have all these creative models that we have to figure out, each one, how exactly they work, to figure out the ABCs of Vilchas Erevin. So one of the creative models was the Mishnah we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, the Mishnah of the second parak of Erevin called Pasei Biros. The Mishnah says that you can construct a mechitza, even violating the what seems to be the cardinal rule of Amud Brumul Aparot, says the Mishnah. No, you can build a mechitza without Amud Brumul Aparot. How do you do that? Here we have our pit of water in the middle, and we have to surround the pit of water, we have to surround the bear, because otherwise we're not going to be able to get the water on Shabbos. Mishnah says, no problem. Make a little Amma by here corner, four corners of Amma by Ammas, and you can carry inside, no problem whatsoever. Can you carry inside? That was a question we asked the last sugya. Where's the Amud Brumul Aparot? So different answers in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim said you don't need Amud Brumul Aparot but not Torah. Some Rishonim said when you have corners that's better. Some said when you have Shem Mechitz that's better. When there's a Pesach. You have a half a dozen answers in the Rishonim how to solve the problem. But at the end of the day, the halach is clear. You're allowed to carry. Even though I'm looking around, I'm not really surrounded by Mechitz. I'm surrounded by these things called Pasei Biros. A pas meaning literally a board of wood surrounding the Biros, surrounding the wells. So the Gemara says that this unbelievable kula pasei biros you would never put into place outside of Olam Regalim. It was a special leniency given for the people who have to go alila regal, have to bring their animals, have to feed their animals on Shabbos. I would never ever permit to build an Erev in Tinek this way. Forget it. The Mishnah says, Loi tira pasei biros, ela Olam Regalim bilvad. So comes the Rosh and says, V'yim taimar, lama hutzuchu lasos pasei biros? Why do we have to cope with this kula? Why do we have to stretch ourselves to the limit and let you get away with it with an Erev, with a mechitza that's so shvach? It's good minatur, you're right. Min haTorah, technically speaking, it's okay for whatever reason the Rishonim give. So we're not questioning its ability to work min haTorah. But why would we ever say such a thing? For Gam lo itir ela behemas ala regalim v'ol other, and we only let it for the purposes of feeding the animals. We don't ever let it for the purposes of the people. So many shvach akula. Yes, the rush logistically. V'kal hayayis elasas tiras haPesach midal ruchos. Why don't you just build the tiras haPesach? What are you hacking and shining and building these four poles, these half-baked mechitzas that nobody likes, the chum don't want you to use? We're giving you a shasach ha-golem cooler for the olor golem for the animals. Just put up tiras haPesach for the same amount of work, for the same amount of money. Instead of going to Home Depot and getting four slabs of avabayama, go get four poles and get a little bit of fishing wire and throw it across the poles. It'll take you less time to build a tiras haPesach. That's the Rosh Hashkasha. And then the Rush rolls in and he says, and don't tell me that Tiras HaPesach aren't going to work for more than 10 Amos. They will work. How do I know? Remember, we just spoke about this yesterday. The Mishnah says, the first Mishnah Erevin says, HaRocha B'Yaseh Amos Yimayit, and we also Tiras HaPesach Sagi. If you make a Tiras HaPesach, that works for more than 10 Amos. So says the Rush, what's the problem? Build a Tiras HaPesach. It's easier, it's cleaner, it's smoother, it's more efficient. Says the Rush, V'yeh Shloimar, the lohoya miskayim kolkach, the osu gemalim v'shadulei. Says the Rush, he says that maybe it's a purely technical problem. Says the Rush, listen, I'm sitting here in Germany trying to philosophize about why they were coming from Saudi Arabia to Eretz Yisrael, Lila Regel, why they weren't building Tiras HaPesach. He said maybe the reason was a pure technical reason that the camels were knocking down the wires. Interesting idea. Okay. Says the Rush, what do you want? It's hard for me to test this. We haven't seen any camels walking around Germany recently. So I don't know. It's a guess. He says that maybe that's the reason why. It's like trucks above 10 feet. So maybe it was a purely technical problem. That was the whole thing. So if that's the case, says the Rush, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But if I'm right, that it was a purely technical thing, then we can't extrapolate any halachas. We can't build any halachas based on this. The Rush asks Yekasha, why did they make Tiras HaPesach? So he's about to give you a lumdish answer. So he says, hold the phone before we give you a lumdish answer. Maybe it's a technical answer. Maybe. And then he says, and v'gam nakeh lipo baruch shenem mitzuy, yafishay etzrich, like b'yom neg malim. And he says that maybe the only way to build it in such a way that the camels won't knock it down is to build it high. Problem is, the higher you build it, the more likely it's going to fall down. So maybe it wasn't practical. That's the reason why. So we're still not sure why we're reading this Rush. The Rush is talking about Pasi Baros. We're talking about Chavol B'Tri Tvachim. So we got work to do still in the Rush. But the Rush just set in motion for us this technical, logistical question: why not make it to a Pesach? Why make these funny makeshift mechitzas? So he's about to repeat the same question vis-a-vis the chavolim and say, why are we building mechitzas with these funny strings? Just make it to a Pesach. It's easier, it's clear. You don't have to measure thickness of strings. You're getting your hands and knees and measure how. Just build it to a Pesach. What happened to a Pesach? So first the Rush told us logistical, technical problem. But now as the sugya develops a little more, we may see some other potential halachic reasons where Tiras HaPesach is failing us and these other makeshift mechitzas may be able to help us. Hopefully it's Shem on Friday. We'll continue with this school on Friday. We're going to start with Shem on Friday.